Over the millennia, humans have come up with all sorts of artistic representations of the deceiver, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan, Old Scratch. I think that's my favorite. A red monster with a pointed tail and a pitchfork and some horns. A well-dressed businessman, a beautiful woman, a small child. Or as a man of wealth and taste deserving of sympathy in a song by the Rolling Stones. But no matter what identity the deceiver takes, and for this sermon's sake, I'm going to assign it a male pronoun. Not that the devil is necessarily a male, but this is for poetic license. His aim is to do just that, to deceive, to distort the truth, and pull us away from our loving Creator by preying on our imperfect humanity. In our gospel today, Christ has just been baptized and identified by God as God's Son, the Beloved. He immediately goes into the wilderness to be tempted, or in Greek, to be tested by the deceiver in three ways. First, the devil attempts to use Christ's divinity to distort creation by having Jesus turn rocks into another form. The devil tries to use Jesus' hunger as a motivator so that Jesus would turn these rocks into bread. The Romans certainly knew this trick, and they often offered free bread to the masses to gain favor or to turn loyalties. But Jesus, instead of using miracles to fill his stomach, uses his divine willpower and comes back at the devil by quoting Deuteronomy, "God's word is more vital to human existence than the food that we eat." The devil wants to promote quick goals, not faith and honor and love, the things that take more work and more time and more effort. Many Christians have fallen prey to this ruse, have heard many evangelists over the years say that if we only do the right thing and we pray the right way, send the right money to the right people, we'll be rewarded with riches from God. This kind of theology skips the real work of being a Christian. It skips Good Friday and it goes directly to Easter. We all may be tempted to do that, but leaving out Good Friday leaves out the walk in the wilderness for 40 days. It leaves out the vital connection that we have with Christ and his walk with us through humanity, through our humanity. Like my high school English teacher, Miss Van Hooser, would say, "Oh, the devil loves a shortcut." The devil's second attempt to tempt Jesus was to create a show. If Jesus could just throw himself off that tower and have some acrobatic angels fly in and save him, that would be a spectacle worth taking on the road, right? Jesus de Soleil. Jesus refuses to put God to the test to create such a frenetic scene. But we humans do love that chaos, right? The busy, the loud, the sparkling. We love movie stars and royals, and the church loves saints and miracles, with Jesus as the ultimate celebrity. In the name of Christ, Christians have sought to promote their specific flavor of Christianity as the one and only way to get to God, touting all sorts of instant benefits. Oh, the devil loves a magic trick. And thirdly, the devil tried to tempt Jesus with personal power. But as expected, Jesus refuses, and he sends the devil away, saying that as one claimed by God, he has chosen a path that involves serving only the Lord our God. The church has certainly wrestled with power and given in a few times over the millennia. Think indigenous peoples decimated by those bent on converting them to Christ. Think slavery justified by the Bible. If you've got political power, you can exert your religious power. But famous theologian Paul Tillich warns of this dark side of power. He says, "We long for a Christ of power, yet if he were to come and transform us and our world in that way, we would lose our freedom, our humanity, and our spiritual dignity. Those who dream of a better life and try to avoid the cross as a way, and who hope to exclude the crucified, have no knowledge of the mystery of God and humanity." To be sure, the deceiver is still at work in our world and is still seeking ways to tempt us as he tempted Christ. We as modern followers of Jesus and members of the church face the latest, greatest temptation, as the devil has been perfecting these for 2,000 years. These still conspire to distract us, to make us take shortcuts that skip the work of real relationship with Christ and each other, and to lure us into the trap of personal glory seeking. But in our world today, and especially in this place that we live in Silicon Valley, we are tempted with the false promise that the busier we are, the greater we will be. Recently, I've read about a term called hurry sickness. It's an epidemic. It's going around. And it's defined as a continuous struggle to accomplish more things and participate in more events in less time, frequently in the face of opposition, real or imagined, from other people. And this is not just a 21st century problem. Philosopher Carl Jung said that busyness is not of the devil, busyness is the devil. Jesus went into the desert to retreat, to gain clarity, to commune with God the Father. He didn't do this in an afternoon or a long weekend. He was there, he was fasting for 40 days, resisting the lies that this work could be done quickly. And all of Jesus' ministry was not hurried. He was present in every moment, even though he only had 3 short years to do all this work that saved our world. Jesus didn't listen to the lies because he was claimed by God, and his defeat of death had to be real and not magic. It had to be truth and not fairy tale fiction. It had to be the kind of power that comes from facing humanity, not just an outcome. To be sure, Jesus stands with us to help us resist all of the lies and phony temptations that distort the truth, because we too are claimed by God. So may we pray this Lent that God creates in us new hearts, strong and resolute to desire a closeness to God, not shortcuts, and that we, like God's pure love, are patient and kind, and find God mighty to save us. Amen.